This is X Formation, brought to you by the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State University. I'm Will, and today, like always, I'm joined by Caden. Caden, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Will?
I'm doing well.
How's your Tuesday going?
Tuesday is going well. I can't complain. It's a little hot, a little steamy.
It's just super humid.
Right?
Stupid humid. Like, this is the kind of humidity that always has turned me off about DC.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much. It like hits you like jello, and then you try really hard to get out of it, and you get inside and you realize inside is humid too, because it leaked in.
Yeah.
It's like a fog.
The Olympics were having very similar issues, apparently. It was really, really humid over there in Japan. Yeah. Did you watch the Olympics at all?
No, I haven't. Because I'm a slinger, you know, and sling
as in
sling. I love sling, right? I love it. I love I can watch Godzilla whenever I want to.
Wait a second, did you say Godzilla? You can watch Godzilla.
It's always on. It's always on sling.
Do you like the original Godzilla?
Yes. And
the one with like the suits, right? The Japanese suits.
Yeah, and the words don't match up. No, but like the way that they featured the Olympics is they did it in like bites, right? So they have
like 60 seconds or something like that, right?
Yeah, like watch the heat for the tryouts in skateboarding, and you watch it a little bit, but it's just like the clips, and you don't get to see the whole experience. You don't get to feel the heartache, the triumph. It's just clips of people doing grinds, and it's really boring to watch that way.
Yeah. Well,
so no, I haven't watched.
I have NBC, so I've been watching the Olympics. So I'm different in that regard, I guess. I will say that this year, the big thing, I always love watching the traditional stuff. There's a really, really good shot put. This one guy named Ryan Krauser ended up pushing back the Olympic world record 3 times. It was quite amazing.
What? Three times, like
3 times, yeah,
like, so, like over his, and over again, or like
yeah,
three times
yeah, no, distance? It was like 3 times. So he, like, his first throw, he broke the record, the Olympic record.
Wow.
And then his second one, he did it. Yeah, and then his fifth one, his fifth shot put, he did it as well.
Wow. Yeah. So he's got a big arm.
The dude is like 6'7" or something like that. He's just, he's just huge, huge guy. Yeah, like 32 or 33.
When you see him coming, you just kind of quit.
Oh yeah, no, he's like, apparently he's a great competitor and all these other sorts of things. Yeah, I also, there was a really, really good women's discus. I thought the an American won it. I think her name was Natalie Allman. She did really, really well. I love watching it for the very traditional ones. Like I almost always watch the discus, shot put, javelin, all that kind of good stuff. Well, anyway,
you know what I wish I saw though, the Japan versus USA baseball game.
Oh yeah,
because I was literally telling Tara, I don't understand why the World Series doesn't include other countries. Like, it's only U.S. sports teams.
It's the
and
World
then
Series.
Japan beat us, and I just thought, wow, did I call it or what?
But did they have the American sports stars? Right? Did they have?
I don't know.
Did they have the baseball stars? And I can't even. I don't know. I don't know.
I just know
at all,
that
right?
They have different ways of pitching, and like they've developed interesting techniques that sometimes we steal, but not always, right? Yeah. And they play a very interesting style of baseball that I got to think is very competitive against an American team playing the traditional style. I don't want to go into it.
Anyway,
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about state privacy laws. Let's talk about something more fun and interesting. State privacy laws.
sure. Right.
Yeah.
I explained data privacy laws to my parents, who recently came in, as about as interesting to talk about as accounting is. And I don't think I'm wrong.
Why is that?
Well, you've got to know the difference between a controller, a processor, a business, a covered entity. You've got to be able to read through HIPAA, which is gut-wrenching.
But isn't that interesting, though, to you, that you have this very, like, you have this movement in the states, obviously, right? We have 3 states have privacy laws, the federal government, and, you know, we can get into this. But I mean, honestly, well, let's just, like, we are getting into that. The federal government hasn't passed any privacy laws, and there's been a lot of pressure for some sort of government entities to actually do this, right? There is there's pressure kind of from everywhere to reform these sorts of laws or do something along these lines. You know, before the show, I did a little bit of a counting, and apparently 25 states have been considering some form of privacy law, and this includes
introduced, passed, failed.
This includes a lot of states that you wouldn't imagine. So, for example, Alabama. I was like, "Ooh, Alabama! Why?"
It also sort of explains why the bill failed, though, right?
Yeah. Because there's no political desire to actually get it passed, right?
It's interesting that it was introduced in the first place, though, that it was put on the table. I think that that's representative of a movement much broader, a movement that has so far led to Apple 14.5, because people do, to some extent, want some privacy in what they do online. My favorite representation of that is the Apple ad for how Apple protects your privacy. And there's this kid in his apartment and his beard isn't growing out and he's kind of embarrassed by it. And he has to search the internet for, like, why is my beard not growing out? And obviously, as someone who's searched the exact same thing, you don't want a bunch of ads to come at you after that that are like, hey, try this miracle cure that'll grow your beard out, because that's annoying. Like, they find one thing that you really are interested in and you just get bombarded with it. At least, as Apple has advertised, you have some privacy. Like, you don't have to tell everybody that your beard isn't growing out, right? Like, there is some security in that. And I think that most people want that degree of privacy, even if it's not feasible. And that's
led to regulation. So, but that's also a very interesting sort of version of privacy, right? That you have some sort of that Apple or Facebook or whoever it may be cannot see you. And effectively, that's what happens anyway, right? To a large extent, you often have these markers, or at least these IDs, that are connected to an individual, and then you get advertisements, you know, directed towards you, towards that ID. They don't really know who they're going towards, right? People could probably go back and actually construct a profile if they really, really wanted to. And, you know, we'll put a link in the show notes about one effort, which happened actually to the Catholic Church, right? This recent priest who was effectively outed via his data. But that was probably because of what's actually happening on the kind of advertisement side of things. And it required a lot more juice and a lot more effort than about anything we've ever seen. So, you know, that's obviously happening in the background. Those sorts of events are happening in the background.
That interesting? The levels you have to go to truly protect your data. You have to know technically what you're doing to be able to be truly anonymous, right?
But you also have to be, knowledgeable technically to actually reconstruct that data as well, right?
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
So it's like the both ends are working on this as well, that it's actually very difficult to figure out where your information is going in one sense, but that's also, it creates almost kind of like, I don't want to say pseudo anonymity, but you're inundated with so much information that it's actually really difficult to parse out a singular individual. Now they could if they wanted to, you know, and I think this is actually this story is a good example of one of those instances. Mm-hmm. But again, this is often happening in the background of a shifting tectonic plates in privacy. You have these actions that Apple is going to in 14.5. You have stuff that's going on, obviously, in the States. You also have all these new cases that are being brought, right? So we're also seeing the very, very beginning of California's enforcement. And, you know, since we're going to be talking about that, let's have an offshoot, or at least a small conversation about what's going on in California. So California
I think it's really interesting first that we're not saying shifting sands, right? It's shifting tectonic plates. Yes. And within those plates being the states, you have shifting sands. There's really no way to have a firm footing if you're a business or a controller or anyone just running a website. There's no way to have a really firm footing and know if you're covered by these laws. They vary in really specific ways that have pretty large impacts if you're not really sure what you're doing. And I think the interesting part about California particularly is that if you go in, and we were looking at this trying to figure out what this meant, if you go in and you just check to see if you're covered under the CCPA for now. Mm-hmm. If you go in and you happen to be covered and you don't already have some sort of opt-out feature on your website, you become non-compliant and they send you a letter and they give you 30 days to cure, which is, to me, feels like it would be a disincentive for me to check in general. But I also know that ignorance is no defense when you're covered by a law and you're violating it.
Which, and 75% of people who are given these letters to say, hey, you need to come into compliance, that they in fact do come into compliance.
Yeah.
I think that, and this is something that I think we probably should do, is reach out and figure out what are the size of those businesses, right? What is the nature of those businesses? Are they all relegated in one specific area or industry? You know, I'm really interested if this is all related to, you know, if this is interest, if this is related to, say, information brokers, which is what a lot of people have tried to regulate and to control and to contain in various ways over the years, or is it kind of a smattering of everything? You know, is it not just the data brokers, but also smaller platform providers, or even, you know, the case that I have known in the past, which is a florist. There was actually a really good case of a florist who thought he would be regulated by CCPA and actually shut down. Yeah. I'll find the op-ed that was on this, but I think that you're right that this question about this threshold, who is specifically covered by the law, this question about threshold is a really, really, really big question, right? And in part it comes from this, you know, relationship that occurs between the rights that are created, you know, and we'll talk about that here in a second, but that the rights, you have a certain kind of rights creation framework, you know, a right to privacy, or right, you know, of privacy, whatever you want to call it, is a bundled right with all these other kind of other rights that are connected to it. But in order for that to actually work and to be a useful framework, it has to impose certain kinds of duties and requirements on companies, on, you know, covered entities, covered platforms, however it's defined in the law.
Yeah.
And figuring out who is included within that covered entity, who is supposed to specifically give those duties, who is insured, and which platforms are required to enact these certain kinds of requirements. That, I think, is this big, big question that we're still, you know, there's just huge bounds on that. We really don't know how many companies or industries will be included in this, or if even certain kinds of industries or companies will be specifically questioned and narrowed and targeted because of the way that they interact with consumers.
Yeah. And so coming into effect in 2023, there are three laws. Already in California, we have CCPA in effect.
Yeah.
And
that was passed in 2018, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And that came down the pipe from a proposition where California voted on the referendum and it was passed. And then the legislature watered down the bill through amendments. So now we have sort of kind of strong privacy bill, but it wasn't as strong as we all thought it would be back in 2018 when it came down the pipe.
Yeah.
But now we have CPRA, the Consumer Privacy Rights Act, out of California, which will go in effect in 2023. And there is this specific provision that says you cannot amend this unless you're acting in the interest of protecting consumer privacy.
Yeah, right.
Because they learned from their lesson the first time that the legislature doesn't want the kind of data privacy protections or rights that have been implemented in the proposition. So you've got to put a restriction on them too.
Well, to be clear, I mean, part of this was actually just poorly written definitions, even in the original CCPA, right? There was actually a lot of really, really, really bad definitions. So in part, it's understandable why the California legislature came in and revised some element of it. I know this is very clear. The question of even who was covered, right? Covered entities. Mm-hmm. This definition was itself a hotly debated issue in between the amendments that came through, you know, the California State House and the original.
And where I was going
laws.
With that, where I was going with that
Sorry,
is that
yeah,
the 2023 bill, as it stands right now, if it's got a few different thresholds that you can meet and be covered by the statute. Mm-hmm. The first one is if you make $25 million and you also collect some form of California data. And that's broad. I mean, that at least excludes quite a bit of companies. But then there's the other, there's two others. But the one that really surprises me is that if 50% of your gross revenue, just whatever gross revenue you have, comes from the collection or processing of consumers' data, that consumer being a Californian, then you're covered. So if I made $10,000 on data collection or processing, if I were an information broker or not a very big one, if I made $10,000 and 50% of that $10,000, $5,000, came from the sell, the processing, or the sharing of a Californian's data, I'm covered. I have $10,000 in revenue, but I'm covered, right? I'm not very successful, but I'm still covered by the statute, and I've got to find a way to comply, which is going to cost me money, which means I really don't make that much money. That's the point that I was getting at, because California is the only one that has this kind of a broad provision. And I think it's more of just a poorly drafted provision that could be amended and made specific without undermining consumer privacy. But it's the only one to do that. The others at least have, you know, you have to have 25,000 consumers from our state, or you have to have 100,000 consumers just broadly based. There are restrictions on it.
So stepping back a second, so what does CCPA, just broadly speaking, what does CCPA allow for? What are the broad things that CCPA is trying to do, right? What's the broad framework that it's working under?
So what California has done with CCPA is really broken ground in comprehensive state data privacy laws. It granted rights like the right of access, the right to delete, and the right to opt out, which was huge. Not only because it threw a bunch of us into a whole frenzy of trying to figure out what they mean and what that all looks like, but mainly because it was the first thing in the United States, the first law to look a little bit like GDPR. Before this, GDPR wasn't as big of a concern for United States-based companies where they're solely doing business in the United States because it didn't apply. You weren't collecting data on European customers. You were only collecting data on United States customers, and GDPR only applied to Europeans.
Now, or in some cases, like, you would actually just say, I'm no longer in Europe, right? Like,
yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, you would shut down operations. Too expensive. Yeah, exactly. Not going to do it, right?
Yeah.
But now we saw CCPA coming down the pipe from 2018, and all of a sudden, a lot of companies started kicking into gear because there's a very good chance for them, if they hadn't been looking, they took a hard look, there was a very good chance that they had a Californian's data that they were processing and using that in some way. And all of a sudden, they have to become compliant.
Yeah. And because these thresholds are so flexible, right? And because there's uncertainty in what these thresholds mean for even the people that should be included, it's like, well, might as well comply. Or at least there's a lot of agencies or a lot of companies that probably are like, well, might as well apply the applications within right. CCPA.
And then from CCPA, a lot of the other states took a cue to implement their own data privacy laws. And we were just talking about this earlier, that there was something like 25 states with privacy laws introduced, passed, failed, whatever. They're taking a cue to start passing their own laws.
Yeah.
And from that, they've also adopted a few of the rights that California was trying to put in place. And the big crux, the big problem, if you're just looking at the rights, is how they're interpreted and how they're enforced. Because a lot of the provisions say we're going to empower the Attorney General or the Consumer Data Privacy Rights Commission in California to set the standards of what these rules mean. California's CPRA is very specific on, we're going to allow the Attorney General to do this. And then once we've established this commission, it's going to shift to them. And there are a lot of provisions that are solely just like, hey, figure it out, but we want this right. In the other states,
it's a little bit messy problem of implementation. Let's just shove that actual important issue of this is great.
At least in Virginia and Colorado, they've spelled it out. They've said what that means, and they've said, this is what we want you to enforce. We don't want you to interpret it. But there are things like opt-out and risk assessments that are still up to the Attorney General to interpret. And it may make sense to most people, but once you pass the state law phase and you have multiple attorneys general creating rules, it's a very good chance that they're not going to line up. They're going to be different.
Yeah.
Pass the letter of the law to a point where it's hard to comply with each of the laws all at the same time. And that's what's coming down the pipe 2023 for businesses to understand. Right?
Yay.
But I think there's a broader point in this, right? We're not afraid of privacy laws. We're not against them. And generally, you know, some form of privacy is agreeable, right? The problem is that it's a lot of different states creating laws that apply to people who aren't even from that state, who have little interaction with the states. And because they have little interaction, they have zero say about what the states do. They can't elect someone out because they didn't like the law. There's no recourse.
Yeah, the long arm.
It gets into long arm statutes and the due process clause. Like, what do you define as due process when you're complying with the law from a state across the country? You know, is it notice? Is a notice enough? It's probably not, because there's no way for you to say, hey, this doesn't apply to me. It's really unclear at this point, right? There hasn't been a very effective challenge to these laws, which if you're a business and you're just trying to like make it and have an online website, that's not a great place to be in, this uncertainty. Either you comply or you wait it out and you face the risk of being subject to suits.
That's not a really great place to be in. So, I mean, just to summarize a bit, right? So you have like at least three different areas of friction here, right? One of them is this question of thresholds, which we talked about, who is covered by the law, who are the entities that are going to be, you know, who are the entities that are covered. Then you have this extraterritoriality issue, the long arm of the law that, you know, because of the way that this enforcement works, because of the way that these thresholds are built in, that you might actually be or required to be compliant with perhaps another state law, perhaps even CCPA law, as well as GDPR, and then your own state law. And then on top of that, then you have a potential interpretation issue or a conflict, depending on how the states interpret various, you know, saying like an opt-out right, you know, what does that mean to have an opt-out provision? What should that look like? Even some states are going so far as to show what these opt-out buttons should look like. I know this is something California has been, has been kind of
define what is clear and conspicuous for a visitor to your site.
To me, right? That, I mean, so I guess this is right where the, this is where the rubber meets the road when you're actually trying to do real policy, when you're trying to figure out what policy looks like that's just beyond the privacy, right? And this is to me what's fat. So I know that you're kind of, you know, a little bit blasé about this topic, but this to me is like the most fascinating part of where an idea, where a right itself, where a privacy, this ideal really hits the road. This is where an ideal makes or is not made into policy. And this to me is the kind of the beauty of this tension, right? That, that when you're trying to enact these rights and these laws, in reality, it comes up against very real problems of how do you define these things? How do you include certain kinds of individuals or certain kinds of companies and not include certain kinds of companies?
And probably more importantly, who does it apply to? Because, because when I look at this, I think to myself, there are companies that can hire data privacy specialists to tell them this is going to work.
Our friends, our friends. I mean, it's putting people, it's putting people like us in business, right? Because we're doing this interpretation and trying to, trying to understand what these laws look like. I mean, who, how many
and people? Not that anybody's hiring us to be consultants, but for those that are hiring consultants, they can comply. For those that can't pay for a consultant, they're looking to us hoping that we get the right answer. And sometimes they, we see guides put out by other organizations that are really broad, and they put everything to a nice, neat category, and they miss the point. They're not right. If you follow that, you're going to get the law wrong. And if you're a small business, it's almost easier to just comply with the most strict standard than to actually categorize each section off to find the, you know, the right law for each state. You just want to comply in general. And that's,
or you exit.
That's not okay, right? Like, that's not a federal law telling you to do something. That's a bunch of state laws, you know, pulling your arm and telling you, you have to comply with one of these standards because we say it has to be strong here. California says it has to be strong over on this other issue. And then Virginia has its own standard that you should probably think about because it's pretty strong, right? Isn't that, that's the problem for me.
That the strictest regulation in this case, probably California and all of its, you know, implemented CCPA and CPRA, like CCPA plus CPRA, that that would become the de facto standard of what the rest of the United States looks like.
I think that's what most people have generally agreed with.
Yeah.
But obviously there are other states that have their laws in the, you know, coming down the pipe. They're voting on them in their various legislatures. We looked at Ohio's the other day. Pennsylvania has some, New York has like three. Who knows, right? Like it could be for now, but looking ahead, it might not be. It might be some other state that has a more stringent enforcement standard. And it would be really helpful to businesses in general if a federal standard were put down, even if it doesn't include all the rights, or even if it is the strictest standard, to at least have a uniform standard that isn't going to change and that at least has, you know, the backing of the federal government who can give you resources to comply. And you're not getting resources from each attorney general. You just got one source. And you can comply and you can do business in the United States without worrying.
Yeah. So wait a second. Are you saying you want to license? You want to license companies? License privacy? I mean, that's basically what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, it just gets down to practicality. I mean, you can be idealistic all you want, but if these laws keep happening, you've got to find a practical solution. And for now, that's what looks like the best practical solution.
Yeah.
That's not to downplay the innovations that's happened, right? Like Apple's.
I mean, there's clear costs that are involved, but I mean, so
there are other ways to get to privacy than just regulating. But if you're going to continue down the road that you're going, then a federal standard is probably more prudent.
I think there's a difference that and this is something I want to explore at some point in the future a little bit more. You know, a lot of this stuff to me looks like it doesn't look like innovation, right? It looks like regulation that you you're certain you have to comply with certain standards. You have to have certain X, Y, and Z option. You have to have the ability to delete, access, opt out, et cetera, right? Those things to me are regulatory requirements.
what Apple is doing in spite of that would be considered an innovation, right? That they're changing their position because, in fact, these right to access, right to delete, right to opt out shifts their own requirements, which point being is that as you move towards these systems where you have to have compliance, where you have to have the agreement of the consumer that they're going to, you know, that certain kinds of information is going to have a certain kind of chain link, right? So this is the other mm-hmm. part of this, which I think is not well understood. And I was searching for it even before this idea of a consent monopoly, right? That your entire pipeline, your entire stack has to agree to the privacy provisions. That if you're basically an upstream provider to Facebook or Google or any other company that is now being regulated by CCPA, that for them, these things are so onerous that they're requiring the entire ecosystem to be compliant with it. And that's right. also going to mean that there's going to be a certain kind of fixed cost that is added to the entire process, that only certain kinds of providers are going to be able to actually comply with what Facebook and Google and Amazon and all of these other major providers can also work with. And so then you basically pass the buck and you pass the consent requirement up the chain of the ladder. And so therefore, I mean, it has the effect of making the entire chain more secure in some regards,
yeah.
maybe, I don't know, but it also has a very clear cost that's involved because certain kinds of companies cannot comply with this and they are mm-hmm. going to have to either, you know, the cost structure of the entire market changes very, very drastically when you require these privacy laws. That yeah. to me is the thing and the part that I really want to get into in the probably in the next year, because to me it's really the unspoken part of all of this. It's how does a market respond to privacy requirements? And that's very clear that it's important within, you know, brokers and informational brokers and data brokers. I think that's probably maybe the worst case scenario or best case scenario, right? That seeing how that market changes in the next year, especially after you see these kind of first big round of cases with CCPA, that mm-hmm. that will be a really big important space to watch, because that will be the, you know, it'll be the bellwether, really. It'll be the bellwether industry and the ones that are affected the most by it.
Yeah, I think you're totally right.
Well, with that, I think that this is always a good conversation, Caden. There's a lot that we've left off with here. More questions than answers. Yeah. As always, subscribe, rate, review, like our material, but tweet at the end of the day, stay well.
You too.